Matthew 6, 9b through 11. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now John 6, 30, 31, and 35. They ask, what miraculous sign will you do that we can see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kathy, and you all may all be seated. So this past Thursday, my buddy Rob Allen and I again began our routine of meeting together at 6 o'clock in the morning to work out at the community center. I'm thankful for my accountability buddy, Rob Allen. Many of you know him as a former member here as pastor at Holden United Methodist now, and my neighbor across the street. But you know, on that Thursday morning when I was driving, guided by the light of the full moon, there were many times I was asking the question, why am I doing this again? But you know, a memory came to me in the midst of all that angst, and that was, there was a time in my life many moons ago where I didn't mind getting up at the crack of dawn because that's when I would go to work. Specifically for 5.5 years as the morning baker at Heritage Cafeterias at the South Glenstone location. I didn't mind getting up and going to work. Of course, that was when I started my love affair with coffee. But that was a good time. And you know, when I think back on that time, the reason why I didn't mind getting up and showing up at work at 5 o'clock in the morning was because I loved that work. I didn't think about it much at the time, but I really did love being a baker. All that all day of creating something new. I'd go in and pull out the pie dough, make some more if I needed it, but then I started the work of making pie shells, you know, make the little crimps that we would do for all those open mix pies like pumpkin pie and pecan pie. I would make just a regular shell for what we called bakes, which were for meringue pies that you would bake and then put the meringue in there later and just bake those up. And then, of course, fruit pies, which were tuck and crimp, right? You tuck it and then you crimp it and seal it. Then you stab it with a fork so that good fruit flavor would come out. I would put those pies in, bake them off, and then for the rest of the day, I would take a look and say, are we running out? And I would bake some more. It was as easy as that. Now, I did the same thing with the various cakes we had. Chocolate cake, cheesecake, German chocolate cake. Are y'all getting hungry? You know, I'd make up, if we needed to have any more cake, I'd make up a batch or a cake, and we would make sure. And if it looked like we were going to run out during the morning, I would take a look, and I would make another cake. It was as easy as that. And then the breads. Cornbread, you know, we would have this mix, and we had these nice little cast iron little molds that were shaped like little corns, and I would put the bread in there and break those up. Jalapeno cornbread, many of you like jalapeno cornbread. I would say that's kind of a risky endeavor because when you're wearing gloves, reaching in to get those jalapenos to put in the mix, and you get that stuff in your glove, you better wash it quick because it will eat up your hand. I'm telling you, powerful jalapenos. But everybody loved eating those. I would make those up, bake them up, watch how they were going during the day, and if I needed to, I would make some more. But the staple of what I made was the most difficult thing to do, really, and that was rolls. Because you see, I couldn't just simply watch and see how well they were going during the day. I had to guess beforehand how busy we were going to be that day to think about how much bread do I need to make. And then early in the morning, usually the first thing that I would do would be to go in, get a big old round pot, put it in the Hobart machine, and then I would put all the ingredients in for the bread, stir it up, get a nice blob of bread, hoist that big old tub, and place it by the wall of ovens to warm up. Put a little vegetable oil on top so that when it rises, it won't stick to the side. And then I'd wait for an hour or so until the bread rose to the very top of the pot. And then it was punching time. If you were feeling stressed that day, what a great stress reliever that was. I had other people in the kitchen going, "Can I punch the bread, Kevin?" And I said, $5. Anyway, you know, you go up to the bread and you just go, boom, and that bread would fall. And then the next step would be to take that bread that you just popped, and then you would squeeze off little blobs of bread. Now, they were supposed to weigh a certain amount to make a pan of rolls. And, you know, for a while, I would actually measure out those blobs, adding or taking away as I needed. But after a while, when you're doing that, you got used to the feel, right? So I didn't have to weigh them anymore. I knew exactly how it should feel. So pinch off a blob, and then I'd roll out this little pan in the roll press. Had all sorts of wonderful machines. This little roll press, I put the blob in there, slide that roll press in, and then I would bring down the lever, which would flatten the bread, and then I would flick another switch, which would put down little blades, pull it down again, and it would cut rolls. Put everything up, take that little flat pan out, and then I had my nice greased pans here, and I would put rolls in each pan, and then put them up on the rack to let them rise again. And so I waited, and this was also very difficult. If I got busy doing something else and I didn't watch it, they might over-rise, which means what happens? They fall again, never to rise again. So watch and wait till they were ready. Then I would take the pans and I would bake off the bread. And the idea was, you bake off all the bread you're going to need. Okay? Most of the time, I was able to provide just enough bread, if not more bread, than we needed. But unfortunately, there were times where, yes, we had like two or three buses that would come in filled with people. And yeah, I would get the complaint. We came in here for a full meal, and that includes a roll. Not cornbread, but a roll. And so I would suffer for that, and I would learn from that. But I would also appreciate something, and I think you all could agree. Isn't it wonderful for all of us, each and every day, that our Lord provides us with the bread we need? Amen indeed, amen indeed. So, despite my travails with rolls, with our God, we don't have to worry about that, because when we ask, we receive. When we seek, in God's will, we find. We are in the middle of a Lenten journey together with Jesus on the way to Easter Resurrection Sunday. And during this journey, we are learning together about the Lord's Prayer. And what we've learned so far is that, hey, each line in that Lord's Prayer is a petition to God. We are asking God for something. We are asking God to do something. But it's not just a petition to ask God to do something. But when we pray that prayer, when we invest in that prayer, then we are asking to be a part of what God is doing. We ask God to hallow God's name, to make it holy. But when we pray that line, hallowed be thy name, we're also investing and saying, how can we hallow your name by the lives that we lead? We ask God to bring his kingdom to this earth so that his will may be known, as in heaven, as in earth, right? And we ask that, how can our lives reflect your will, Lord, and shine the light and love of your kingdom so that others may know? Today, we come to what I used to think was one of the simplest lines in the Lord's Prayer to understand. But as we're about to see, there is more than meets the eye. Let's say that line together. Give us this day our daily bread. Pretty easy, isn't it? Think again. In just a moment, I'm going to share different ways that we can approach that particular line and focus our hearts as we pray that line. Give us this day our daily bread. But first, I wish to share with you a mystery. A mystery that I was reminded of. I had forgotten of it until I had read Reverend Adam Hamilton's book on the Lord's Prayer. And it's like, oh yeah, I remember this. And that has to do with the adjective that is in that line, daily. Daily. Seems that Matthew and Luke share that word in their gospel when they talk about daily bread. And that is a Greek word called epiousian. Say that with me, epiousian. Isn't that a beautiful word, epiousian? Give us this day our epiousian bread. Well, guess what? Epiousian doesn't translate directly to daily. In fact, epiousian is a mystery word. I was reading a commentary by one of my seminary professors, Dr. Warren Carter, who said, there's a lot of debate about the meaning of this word because it is unattested in all literature. You know what unattested means? That means they can't find it anywhere else. The word epiousian is only used by Matthew and Luke in that place in the whole Bible. But not only that, in all of Greek literature, it's almost like it's a new word. Epiousian. It has been a mystery since 382 when Jerome was translating the Greek into Latin and creating the Latin Vulgate Bible. And scholars have been debating this. Because of where it is, give us this day our bread, they thought, well, daily would work here. But as centuries have gone on and Bible scholars have looked at that sentence, they've taken a closer look at the meaning of epiousian. And it seems to come closer to give us the bread that we need to live on. Give us the bread that is essential. Give us the bread that we need to exist. That puts a different spin on what daily bread is, doesn't it? It's something more than just bread that's provided each day. It is something that is provided that we can't be without. So let's talk about how we might focus in praying that particular line. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our epiousian bread. One way is if you are definitely hungry. If you are starving, if you are someone that is food insecure, that doesn't have access to affordable, nutritious food, then when you pray that prayer, give us this day our daily bread, you are praying that you will have food. According to an article from last June from the University of Missouri, there are 1.1 million Missourians who are food insecure, that don't have access to nutritious food, can't afford nutritious food, who are poor. 1.1 million Missourians alone. You can just expand that out to the nation. That's reflected a great deal, actually, in our schools and the free and reduced, and the free lunch program that's there that you qualify for if your income is at a certain level. Then the average for Missouri is 53.2%. Of all students. Over half of our students are on free and reduced lunches. Here in Harrisonville, that's a little different, and you can look for the stats online. In our schools, it's anywhere from 35 to 52.1% in our individual schools. That is the range. I don't know about you, friends, that's a high number. What that means is that we have families in Harrisonville that aren't getting enough to eat. And in a community that supports one another, that seems to be a shame. Give us this day the bread that we need. If you have access to food, if you are not food insecure, then those of us that are not food insecure, that have access to food, can focus on the words us and our in that prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Give all of us, Lord, the bread that we need. And when we pray that line, we're not just praying for ourselves, but we're praying for others and how we might be able to help others in being fed. You know, God has done some miraculous food miracles all through the Bible. We hear the story of the wilderness people, right, in the Old Testament, where God provides meat and bread, quail and manna, which translates to what is it, right? But God provides that for the people, and that's truly a miracle. But God does mighty things through people, and it's through people who have an open heart for love and have Jesus in their heart that can be used of God to provide miracles of food for others as well. There are so many opportunities here in Harrisonville. Through Bright Futures, you can go and, you know, Sunday school classes, small groups, you can go and you can stuff backpacks. Groups do that all the time. Stuff backpacks. They have a special shed by the middle school, behind the stadium, where you can go and you can stuff backpacks so that students won't go hungry on the weekend. See, they can take care of students when they come to school, but on the weekend, they can't be sure they're going to get adequate food. So Harrisonville provides a way. Bright Futures provides a way where people can come and stuff backpacks so that students can be fed. You can be a part of that. The food pantry, the Shepherd Food Pantry here. Barb Bennett, are you in here today? There you are. Talk to that woman about how you might serve. Cecil's a good one to talk to about that too. How you might serve at the food pantry. You guys do an awesome job of providing food here from our church, but you can also go and serve others. Friends, there are over 1,000 people that are served each month through our food pantry. You'd be surprised how many people need food in Harrisonville. All you need to do is work at the food pantry once and you will see. And you can be a part of that. Friends, you could be a part of feeding hungry people across the world. At offering time, I'll share a way that you can give to the people of Ukraine who are in dire need of food at this time. In different areas of the Ukraine where they are being starved out. And where humanitarian aid is trying to be distributed to folks there. I'll share a way through our United Methodist Committee of Relief and how we can do that. All of this is just to give you some ideas. There are so many more ways that you can help others. Give all of us this day the bread that we need. Now, so far, I've been talking about bread as a physical reality. But as Lori said earlier in her children's time, bread is also a metaphor for a spiritual reality. The Gospel of John especially talks a great deal about this spiritual reality connected to bread. In one part of Jesus' journey, he has this beautiful conversation with a woman, a Samaritan woman at a well. And the conversation so blesses that woman that she runs off to tell her village all about Jesus. And while she's gone, his disciples who have been out, they come back and they're munching on food. And they go, Jesus, have you had anything to eat? And he says, I've had food that you don't know anything about. I'm fed. And they said, well, I don't see any cheese and crackers. That's in my Bible. They don't see it. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Father, that his work may be done. And in that sense, bread is doing God's will on this earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But bread has even a deeper reality, a spiritual reality. Later on, in getting to the text that Kathy shared with us today, there's this wonderful miracle that happens. We know this miracle. It's in all the Gospels. 5,000 people are fed, right? A miracle. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. 5,000 people are fed. It's a great sign. The people are happy. They're celebrating. The very next day, Jesus is traveling, and the crowds come to him. They say, "We want more." They're hungry for Jesus, but they're also hungry for more bread. So they come to Jesus and said, "Hey, we're here. You got more bread?" And Jesus says, "You don't have to work for the food that is temporary, that doesn't survive. Food, seek the food that endures for eternal life." And they're going, "We want bread." And they said, "You know, we do know about God providing manna for the people in the wilderness." And again, Jesus says, "Yes, but there is a more wonderful bread, the bread of God, the bread of God that gives life to everyone on earth." And they still are having a hard time understanding, and we still have a hard time understanding this. And so finally they said, "Well, this bread of God, we want some. Give us this bread of God." And Jesus looks at them and said, "I am the bread of life. Those that come to me will never go hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty." And that's when Jesus is saying, "I am that which sustains you. I am that which will make you thrive as children of God." It's been said that it is in this place that John is really pointing to Holy Communion, because John doesn't contain the words of institution that you find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in this part where Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life," this is where Jesus is pointing to himself. And this is the bread we need, isn't it? Jesus' bread. This is where Jesus meets us in providing for our lives. This is a deep spiritual reality, but friends, it's not just some ethereal thing. We need Jesus. So when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're saying, "Give us this day the bread of life so that our hungry souls can be satisfied." Such a simple phrase, and yet there's more to it. Now each week, I've invited us to engage in spiritual disciplines related to the Lord's Prayer. Ask that you are praying the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day. How many of you have been able to do that? You know? Isn't that something? Doesn't it feel good to do that? Sometimes, I mean, I don't have a set time, but it's just good to, when I think the Lord's Prayer, I just say it. And I receive a great blessing. This last Sunday, I asked that you would focus on certain words. "Thy and thine. Thy holy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Friends, for this particular week, I want you to focus on this simple line. "Give us this day our daily bread." But I want you to think about what that really means. "Give us this day our epiousian bread." "Give us this day our essential bread." "Give us this day the bread that we need." I'm going to close this now with a prayer, and I'm warning you ahead of time, I'm going to sing. But you're all welcome to sing with me. I'm going to be focusing on the cross as I sing this, It's a Michael W. Smith song. That's one of Sam's favorite folks. But the lyrics just came to my heart. So, and this is a variation. This isn't the full song. So be glad of that. But let's go to God in prayer. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is my daily bread. Amen.